excited to be in front of y'all today. Man, it is just good to be together in worship. I remember when, because y'all remember there was a time where I happened to find out that COVID thing found me, right? That was a long time ago. If you're a guest here today, please know it was a long time ago. But there sure was a time when that COVID bug went and found me. And my wife, being the amazing nurse that she is, locked me in a room by myself for what seemed like forever. But when I was in there, the symptoms of my illness did not last very long at all, right? It was just a couple of days, and a little headache, a little fever, that thing was gone, and here I was just locked in a dungeon for a week. Nothing to do, nobody could talk to, right? All I could do is I just talked to you through my computer. That's all I did, right? And while I was in there and I was feeling better, I started painting everything that I could be. So like I was locked in Isaiah's room, and so his room got painted while I was in there. And then there was one bathroom next to his room that I was allowed to use. And so I was like, you know what? This is a great time to paint the bathroom. Let's knock this out real quick, right? I got nothing but time on my hands. I can order paint from Home Depot, have it delivered, and Bob's Russell, there we go. And the only issue with painting the bathroom is that we had a massive mirror on the wall, right? It's like 4 foot by 8 foot mirror. And the people who lived there before us, God bless them. Please, God bless them. They thought that, in order to add like a decorative element to this mirror, they were going to add a flame to it. But they didn't they just got some sort of like industrial glue to put on the back of the frame, and they just stuck it up there, which was easy at the time to put a frame on a mirror, and I'm sure they were like, wow, we were genius. But then I wanted to take the mirror down, and they are no longer a genius, right? So I get to pick up this frame, and we get the whole frame off and everything. The problem is that the glue doesn't exactly come off the same way. I don't want to work on it too hard because I'm afraid I'm going to break the mirror. And the mirror is ready to come down so that I can begin kind of prepping the wall behind the mirror so we can get some paint there and everything. And I don't remember what day of the week it was, but I do remember that the day that I had in mind to get this mirror off the wall was, it happened to be the very same day that Dutch could not help me with this mirror, right? So, of course, man brain that I have and everything, I thought, well, I've got a really good idea. I'm sure I can get that off the wall by myself. I mean, how hard could it be, right? And just to be clear, I did it, all right? I did it. I got it off the wall, and it was not pretty, but I accomplished the job. And so I kind of moved it from the wall kind of onto the countertop, and then I had a little like step stool there kind of thing, so then I pulled it from the countertop down to the step stool, and I was like, okay, now I got to get this out of the room. And so the only other room I could go to was my dungeon, Isaiah's bedroom. And so my plan was that I was going to move the mirror down to the floor, which I did successfully. Okay. And I feel like I maybe keep saying all the things I did well, because it's about to go really bad. So I got it down the floor, and I went to kind of, I was like, I'll just push this thing just right across the carpet. I mean, push this thing right across the carpet. But the glue that was on the bottom of the mirror kept snagging the carpet. Like, that's not going to work. So then I had a brilliant idea. Well, if I just get a towel and put it under the front of the mirror, then I can just slide it on the towel. I don't care about the towel. I can tear it up or whatever like that. I can slide that thing right up into Isaiah's bedroom, put it right there in front of the bed. I'm going to start painting the bathroom. And again, the idea worked. Okay, let me just clarify. It was going so well until it didn't. And as I was sliding the mirror all by myself, mind you, Nothing's totally oblivious to any of this, right? Kids are up and down the stairs. They don't even pay any attention to me at all. I could be on fire. They're just going to go about their business. That downstairs, no idea any of this is happening. I got the mirror on the towel, and so I'm kind of picking up the back part of the mirror and like sliding the front, and there's this little like this little curve that I had to kind of navigate here to be able to get into the bedroom. And as I went, the towel kind of caught a little bit, or the glue, I guess, of the mirror, kind of caught a little bit on the carpet again. And when it did, the mirror came down and it hit the floor in such a way that there was a piece of glue on the bottom of that mirror, and it just chipped off that back corner of the mirror, right? And I was like, oh, are you kidding me? That's not good. Let me keep going, right? Now, this part happened in a moment, in just a matter of moments, and so it seems like it could have been like it seems like minutes to me, but it happened like in a blink of an eye. And so I'm moving the mirror, and it hits the floor, and it cracks the corner, and I pick it up, and I immediately think, well, keep going. So I move it again. It's still snagged, by the way, okay, because I'm that smart. And it snagged again, and don't you know that that thing came right down on my shoe. And I picked up the mirror, the end of the mirror again, and I looked at my shoe, and there was a hole in my shoe. That was not a good sign. That was not a good sign. I immediately sat down in the mirror and began the mantra, that was so stupid, that was so stupid, that was so stupid, that was so stupid, how could I do that? It was so stupid, right? I go into my dungeon and I begin to pull my shoe off, and there's already blood in the sock and everything, right? Yeah. And so at this point, I'm just hoping the toe is still there, right? And that thing came right down on, I guess you would call it your ring toe? Is that? It's the one next to the pinky toe. I don't know what you call it, but it's the second one from the right. And man, it was going nuts. And so, Then I'm trying to hold pressure on the toe, but I don't want to stay in Isaiah's room because there's carpet there, there's tile in the bathroom. So then I'm like hobbling myself over to the bathroom so I don't bleed all over the carpet. And I get there and I'm sitting on the step stool that I had a mirror on before, and I'm just holding the pressure on there, trying not to bleed out. And I think it was Daniel that came up. And again, totally oblivious to anything going on at all. Like, I'm holding a bloody sock on my foot, and I had to call him into the room, like, hey. And so he comes over and was like, go get mama for me. I'm gonna need some. So she comes up, and my wife, this is my favorite part of the whole story, right? She comes up, and the very first words out of her mouth are, we cannot go to the hospital. Right? It is not, like, this is my ICU wife. Like, if I'm not on a ventilator, well, you're just going to have to find a way to deal with it, right? And so, like, it wasn't like, how are you okay? What happened? What do I need to do? We cannot go to the hospital. Let me read for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Today, as we continue on in our series on being stronger together, we're going to look at how it is that we are stronger together in the use of our spiritual gifts together, right? What I tried to do by myself with that stupid mirror was so much harder than it had to be, right? If I would just been patient enough to wait for any kind of help at all, right? None of that would have happened, and it would have gone so easily, but because I tried to do it myself, it was my toe suffered, let me just tell you, the rest of me suffered as well, right? But not only that, watch this now. When my toe suffered, the mission that I was trying to accomplish suffered as well. As soon as I dropped that stupid mirror on my foot, like, immediately I was done moving the mirror. All of a sudden, I had no concern for paint on the walls. I had no desire to sand or prime or anything like that. All I wanted to do at that point was just stop the bleeding because I went about doing it myself. Sometimes, you're like, the church kind of feels like this too, right? Sometimes we try to do things ourselves and it feels like, working so hard at this. Maybe it doesn't have to be so hard. Maybe the times where we've been hurt, maybe we don't have to hurt like that. Maybe the times where we're just trying to do this all ourselves, maybe we need to recognize that, you know what? It's not just us who is being impacted by this, but the mission is being impacted as well. When we don't do this together, as God created the church to be, and the mission suffers as well. Some don't connect with the church even at all because, all we need is Jesus, right? We maybe don't even need to show up in a place of worship. Maybe really need to watch a service online. All we really need is Jesus. We don't really need the church. Meantime, we are dropping the mirror on our toes, and it's hurting the mission. It's not hard to look at the culture around us and see that that this culture is not being impacted the way it needs to by the kingdom of God. Right? And we can look at all kinds of reasons for why that might be, and we can have all the places of blame that we want to put out there, but the truth of the matter is that the church was established in order to impact the culture with the kingdom of God. And so if it's not happening, before we look anywhere else, we as a church have to look at us. And I just wonder, is it possible that part of the reason why we're not impacting culture the way we should, the reason why we're not seeing people, more people getting saved, maybe the reason why we're not seeing more people becoming disciples to make disciples is because maybe we're just trying to do this thing on our own. Maybe we're just trying to do our own thing, to use our spiritual gifts, maybe, but just to use them for ourselves in whatever way we might want to. Or wonder what it might look like if we actually just came together. I wonder how much stronger we would be if we came together and using our gifts for God's glory to accomplish God's purposes. This week in community groups, and again, I really hope that you've been able to connect with community group. If you haven't, really want to encourage you to do that. You can actually go to hfcg.org/community-groups and get signed up for a group today. This week in your community groups, you're going to be talking about like spiritual gifts themselves and how it is that people in the church kind of interact with each other there. So I'm not gonna preach that this morning. I want to encourage you to just dive into that in your groups there, but today we're going to talk about, as referred to there in verse 26, when one part suffers, every part suffers with it, and if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What I want to talk about today is how can we get together in such a way that we can all rejoice together, right? How can we use our spiritual gifts in such a way that we can honor one another, that we can rejoice together as we are seeing God do amazing and impossible things all around us? What can we do to make sure that we're not just dropping the mirror on our toe, but that we're actually accomplishing the mission that we set out to accomplish? Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from you today. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would speak through me even now. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God. Help me to hear from you. Help us to hear from you. Help us to respond by faith to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the rest of our time together today, I want to just focus on verse 27, because I think there is so much that is in here. And again, let me just encourage you, for those of you who, like when I talk about spiritual gifts, you might be thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor. I really want to encourage you to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It lays out just a list of different gifts that are there. If you've never figured out what your spiritual gifts are, like if you are saved and walking with Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, but you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I really want to encourage you to look at that. You can actually, here's a real easy thing you can do. And if you're in a community group, you're actually going to do this week in your community group. But for those of you who may not be, you can actually just do a Google search or whatever and just look for three spiritual gift tests online. And they'll pop up like three or four that are really easy. You'll need to like give your information, like name and email, whatever like that. But they're all pretty straightforward and everything. They're all pretty similar. If you haven't used some sort of assessment to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, I really encourage you to do that. Or you can actually just get with somebody who's sort of a spiritual mentor for you and read through 1 Corinthians 12 together and talk about like what spiritual gifts do you see in me? Right? It'd be great. You can just ask other people and have that conversation there. That's a great way for you to know about how you can plug in different ways. Now, I'm going to mention this later on as well, but actually, no, I'll say that for later on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Let me read this for you one more time. It says, let me see the right page here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. There are some just some basic things about this verse here that I think are really important for us to grasp so that we can see how important it is for us to be together. Alright? First of all, we are not Christ. Alright? Now that might sound like, well, duh, of course we're not Christ. The verse says that we are the body of Christ, right? But we are not Christ. Only Jesus saved. Right? And this is really important for all of us to acknowledge and to understand, because some people think that just by coming and putting yourself in a seat, in a place of worship, means that you are that you are saved by grace through faith, and that is not in fact the case. Like, just because you are here doesn't mean you are walking by faith. Just because you are here does not necessarily mean that you've been forgiven of your sins. Just because you are here doesn't mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Even for those that are watching online, just because you are watching this video doesn't necessarily mean that you are saved by grace. See, we have to recognize that only Jesus saves. Being in a seat doesn't save you. Being dressed like church folk doesn't save you. Right? Having the right language come out of your mouth doesn't save you. Right? But you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And while we are members of the body of Christ, we are not Christ. We are dependent upon Jesus. Let me just clarify this to say, I am not Jesus. Alright? I appreciate your kind feedback, whether you mean it or not, about sermons and everything like that, right? I can't save you. Amen. It's alright, you're not going to hurt my feelings. That was a very appropriate place for an amen, by the way. I can't save you. Your parents or grandparents, though they have been praying for you your whole life, they can't save you either. They can't save you. You're not getting in on anybody else's coattails, right? You're not getting in just because you're around people who are saved. No, if you want to be saved by grace through faith, that means you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you also have to recognize that if other people think they're getting in because of your faith, you got to let them know that you ain't Jesus either. You got to make sure they know who Jesus is. You got to realize that it's not just about you looking smarter and knowing more about the Bible than they do. You're not here to be their answer person, but you're here to help them connect to God through a relationship with Jesus. Right? It's really important. This might sound like a no-no kind of thing, but it's really important that we recognize we are not Christ. Only Jesus is the Messiah. That was rather dramatic. Wow. Only Jesus is the Messiah, and we've got to make sure that we are seeing him as such. Also, if we are the body of Christ, then we have to be together with Christ. All right? again, it's just it bears repeating. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you're here doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. That would be like saying that if I stand in a garage, it makes me a car, right? So being in proximity doesn't make me anything different. I have to be changed by Jesus, right? If we are the body of Christ, then we have to be together with Christ. Now watch this, because this is everything revolves around this right here. That's why I kept repeating it from the first part here too. If we are going to be stronger together as a church in spiritual gifts in every other way, if we're going to be stronger together, it's only going to be because we are strong with Jesus.
Amen.
I'll amen myself on that one. Like, the only way that we're going to be strong, like, and this is really important, because again, there are some that think, like, well, if I'm just a part of a church, well, then I'll be stronger because I have this social network, right? Like, oh, sure, like, everybody knows how negative Facebook is, but if I just get together with this community of believers here, well, then I'll be good. And I just want you to realize that that is not necessarily the case. We have to be together with Christ. He is the one who makes us stronger. He is the one who empowers us individually, and He is the one who makes us stronger together. Right? Let me keep going. If
each one is a part of the body of Christ, then individually, we are not the body of Christ.
Okay? I know outside it's getting a little confusing now. Let me repeat that again. If each one of us is a member of the body, if each one of us is a part of the body, right? Then individually, we are not the body of Christ. I am not the body of Christ by myself. Right? You are not the body of Christ by yourself. You are part of the body of Christ, so long as you are in right relationship with Jesus. Right? You are part of the body of Christ, but you are not the body of Christ by itself. I might get a whole lot of people turning heads here now, but we need to recognize as well that even as Houston First Church of God, the people who make up the church that are within this building right now, like, we are part of the body of Christ. Amen, somebody, all right. But we are not the totality of the body of Christ. Amen? And it's all right that there are some people that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit that aren't necessarily going to be worshiping in this building.
Right.
And the reason why that is so important is because when we encounter people that are walking with Jesus outside of this building, we need to understand that they are brothers and sisters in Christ as well. We're on the same mission, right? And if we find ourselves fighting against each other, we're going to drop the mirror on our toes. And we're going to lose track of the mission. We're going to forget all the fact that we have this job to do. And we're going to lose our minds over things that really don't matter. Hear this so clearly now. We are never more like Christ than when we are together. Church, I want you to get that today. Maybe because I know that, you know, coming through all this COVID stuff and everything, like, loneliness is real. Like, there's a lot of people who have been dealing with depression and anxiety because they've just been closed up for so long and everything, right? And it's important for us to be together. Like, it does something to us spiritually and even physically. Like there's something about being with other people that makes us stronger, makes them stronger. And when we don't have that, like, it will do something to our minds. We are never more like Christ than when we are together. I want to show you something here. See, because when we share our faith stories with others, they begin their faith story with Jesus, and we are more like Jesus. When we help connect people with faith to God's word, to the church, and to community groups, we all look more like Jesus. When we help connected people with faith to find places to serve,
serve in their spiritual gifts and their places of interest, we all look more like Jesus. And when we help servants of God learn how to do all this for other people, we become disciples who make disciples.
Yes.
We all look more like Jesus. But we don't look like Jesus by ourselves. It's only in our coming together that we're able to sort of fulfill the image of God that has been invented inside, that we were born into. You notice from that very first picture, you can see faces, you can see individuals, you can even see smiles, you can see characteristics in their hands. But in this picture here, you can't see any of that. See, in the culture in which we find ourselves today, individualistic caricatures, if you will, are really important for us. You know, the fact that we have our own identity, the fact that people see us a certain way, all these kinds of things. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying that that it's a bad thing to have distinctives about ourselves or anything like that. But when God created the church, when Jesus died for the church, he died for a church that would look more like Jesus than it would like us.
Amen.
And if we are more concerned with people knowing our individual identity than we are with them knowing the identity of Jesus Christ, then that is a problem. But watch this now, because here's what's so amazing. Again, this is why I really want to encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in its entirety by yourself. It's because God has created us with individuality. God has created us so that each and every one of us is different. Each and every one of us has a particular way of doing things, right? Each and every one of us has a different personality and different spiritual gifts, different ways that the Spirit of God moves through us, the impact on us around us. Like, God has made us all individually different, just like each and every pixel in this picture here. But it is only when all of those pixels come together that we actually see the representation of Jesus Christ. Church, we ought to celebrate the distinctiveness that we have from one another individually. But celebrate it as a part of a whole. Celebrate it as a part of recognizing that as we come together, we're able to reflect something about Jesus that we just cannot reflect on our own. I want you to... Well, let me move on. I guess the big question is, what do we do with all this, right? We've got these spiritual gifts, there's a couple of different myths of what those spiritual gifts are and how they work themselves out and everything. We've got spiritual gifts in general here, but what are we supposed to do with these gifts? Like, how are we supposed to move forward here? Okay, yeah, even if we do all agree, yes, we're strong together, like, what is that? What does that look like for us? Well, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to make sure that if we're going to be stronger together in the spiritual gift that God has given us, then we actually have to be connected to Jesus, right? Like, if we as a church are going to be intentional about fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ, of being disciples to make disciples, then we first need to make sure that we have a strong relationship with Jesus. If we are not connected to Jesus, we are not, as a church, going to be able to show people an accurate representation of Jesus. Right? And so whether this is your first time here, or whether you've been here for 100 years already, we all have that first thing that we have to focus on, and that is, where am I in terms of the relationship with Jesus? And am I pleasing Jesus with the choices that I'm making? Am I living in such a way that would cause others to want to live with him as well? That others would want to follow him as well? Like, we've got to first have that relationship with Jesus. Secondly, if we're going to get stronger together, we need to be together in some environments where we can really interact. And that's part of the reason why we've created community groups in the way that we have, right? The learning groups that we had before were great in terms of being able to dive into God's Word. And in some ways, there were some relational aspects that were able to happen there. However, with community groups, we we are shifting how it is that we look at Bible study itself, because we recognize that even Jesus, as he was leading his disciples, even as he was teaching the masses and everything, he always did that in community. He always did that in such a way that even if he told a story to the masses, they would come over to the side here, and he and the disciples would have a conversation about what that meant. What I want for us to be able to do is, let's get together in a worship service like this where we can proclaim God's word and get good news out there. But I really want you to have a space where you can kind of pull aside with some people and talk to each other about, like, what in the world did Pastor Tim mean by that? And how, what does that mean to me? And how do I live that out, right? Like, that is why we created community groups in the way that we did, because we really believe that having those relational connections with others helps us to be able to process what God's word is saying, and more specifically, what it's saying to us, and what we should be doing in response to that, right? Third thing is, I really want to encourage you to find a place to serve. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. We've got a webpage set up with all kinds of different places where you can serve with the church. And it's just simply hfcog.org/serve, right? hfcog.org/serve. And if you want to, you can even go there right now. I'm giving you permission. And on there is just a whole long list of things that you can look into to figure out how you can serve as part of the body of Christ. Some of those things are here in this building on Sunday mornings. Some of those things are outside. Some of those things are with ministries that we're doing outside of Sunday mornings. So there's all kinds of different stuff. Some of it's in front of people. Some of it's not in front of people. Some's with kids. Some's without kids. Because I know there's people on both sides of that train track, right? But whatever it is so important that in order for us to be stronger together, we've got to actually do stuff together, right? And as great as it is for all of us to be able to see you on a Sunday morning or whenever else we might see you, we become stronger when you are actually exercising your gift to serve the body and the community together. Amen? The last thing I want to say then is in regard to where we can go from here, particularly for those of you who are already serving, right? I want to encourage you to find someone to replace you, right? I don't mean it like you're doing a terrible job, and I need you to find someone at least better than you, right? I'm not saying that, right? Maybe. All I'm saying is that part of this vision to multiply that we've been talking about for the last 3 years now is that we want to not just grow and add to our numbers, but we want to multiply. We want to plant churches. We want to multiply groups. We want to, and it even comes down to multiplying and volunteers. Right? One of the best things that you can do in your particular area of ministry is not just to serve there, but also to find someone else that can replace you. Right? Because watch this. If you have the wherewithal to bring someone in and to replace you in a particular ministry area that you're in, believe me when I tell you, I'm going to find someone else for you to serve. All right? Now, please don't think that if you find someone else to take your job, then you're not going to have a job. Oh, no. Like, if you can find someone to replace you, if you can train somebody else to do what you're doing, like if you can identify a gift in somebody else and help them to kind of get equipped into that area of ministry, like, let me just tell you right now, I'm going to find someone else for you to work too. Like, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be purposeless in the church or anything like that. Like, we will find a place for you. In fact, what I would say is that when we begin to find people to replace us in ministry, we become more valuable than we ever have been in ministry. Like, don't get me wrong, like, it's great if you've been serving in the nursery for 126 years and you're just doing that thing, that's great. But if you can find somebody to replace you in that ministry position in order that we might be able to multiply as a church and plug you in maybe in some other role, like, trust me, we will find a way and we will all be stronger together for it. It's not just a matter of Pastor Sarah and Pastor David and I, like, trying to establish leadership and figure out who's doing what and all that kind of stuff. No. you get to be part of that as well. You get to put your gifts to work in order to help others put their gifts to work as well. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. And as they come, I just want to let you know that as I mentioned, we are never more like Jesus than when we are together. We're never more like Jesus than when we are together. So what that means is that right now, because there are people that are not part of the body of Christ, there are holes in the body, right? There are holes that need to be filled. And those holes are not in this room right now. Some of them, let me say it that way. You may be here, you may know that, you may recognize even about yourself that when you walked in this morning, you didn't have that relationship with Jesus. Like you were going to show up for worship today, but you didn't have that relationship with Jesus. I want you to know, when you begin that relationship with Jesus and you begin to serve the church and serve the mission of Christ, you help the whole church look more like Jesus. So yes, it is a personal relationship you have with Jesus, but it's not only a personal relationship. No, it impacts all of us. Watch this now. There's other people out there that I'm never going to meet face to face, but you will. And when you do, you need to recognize that's part of the church that is not currently here. That's part of the body of Christ that isn't connected yet. And so we need to do whatever we can to help pull in every part of the body of Christ, because as we do, we're only going to be stronger. We're only going to be stronger. As we continue to share the gospel with people and let them know and help lead them into a relationship with Jesus, we're only going to be stronger. As we find people that we can pour into and disciple them and help them to be disciples and make disciples as well, we're only going to be stronger, right? But we've got to make sure that we're being intentional by using every gift that God has given us in order that we might be able to look more like Jesus every day. Stand with me. We sing. Lord God, we thank you so much for every gift that you have blessed us. And we ask God that you would help us to find ways in which we can live stronger together with you. Help us, Lord, to look like you to everyone around us, not just on our own, but as a community. Show us, Father, how we can serve following you.